You may remain seated. The text that forms the basis for our sermon today is the gospel reading we just considered, where Jesus our Lord was baptized in the Jordan River. Let us pray. Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In Jesus' name, dear fellow redeemed, what will it take? What will it take to change your mind? Maybe you've known someone who has been so stuck in their ways that no matter what you said or what you did, you couldn't ever seem to get them to change. What will it take? So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse. And for those of you who have seen the movie The Godfather, you know that's not necessarily a good thing. When a mob boss comes to you and says, I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse, it's not necessarily a good sign. It means you're probably going to get roped into some kind of deal that you're going to regret later on. And if you don't like it, you're going to be threatened until you do what you don't want to do. What will it take to get you to change? Repentance is described in Scripture as a change of mind. It's a change of heart, a change of life. What will God do to get you to change? Will he lure you into some deal you're going to regret later on? Will he threaten you until you're forced to do what you don't want to do? How will he get you to change your mind? You know, water has a way of threatening us. Even though it's one of the most prized resources, you find it everywhere. We need it to drink and to live. It's also quite threatening. Anyone who's seen pictures on the news of a typhoon and the damage it can cause knows the danger of water. Any parent who's ever had responsibility over their kids around the swimming pool knows that feeling of what water can do, how it might make you afraid, how it might threaten you. Baptism has a way of threatening us with the water. In it, we die. In it, something is drowned and something dies. In baptism, we see a reflection of who we really are as we're plunged into that water, dying sinners. And Satan doesn't want that. He doesn't want you to go near that water. So he's going to make you an offer you can't refuse. He's going to lure you into a deal that you're later going to regret. He says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you just what you want. Just what you always longed for. I'm going to give you what you want. Is it money? It's yours. Go buy a lottery ticket and all your troubles will fade away. You'll have all that stuff you've always wanted. Have your parents been giving you a hard time? Well, I can take care of that. I can make sure they get off your back. I can make sure they never bother you again. Where is it responsibility? Well, I can handle that too. No problem. You don't have to go to work today. You don't have to take care of your kids tomorrow. You don't have to talk to your spouse tonight. I could take care of all those things. Only one thing. You belong to me. You are mine. You're in my debt. And later, I'm going to call on you for a favor that you will regret. The devil has made you an offer that your sinful flesh just couldn't refuse. Even if it's not money or honoring your parents or responsibility, it's something else that he's lured you into that deal. And what it means is that you'll disown your parents. You'll buy the lottery ticket and you'll get addicted to gambling. You'll have too much time on your hands and you'll never have enough, you'll never be happy. Or you'll disown your parents. You'll become so rebellious, you'll hate your parents. Your heart will be given over to hatred, and your parents will get to the point where they just can't even put up with you anymore. They don't know what to do. Or what this means is that you'll become a liar. You'll never take responsibility for the people in your life or the sins in your life. You'll lie to your boss, you'll lie to your kids, you'll lie to your spouse. Whatever it takes, because you've been caught in that deal. So God needs to come with another offer, and John the Baptist comes to give it to you. He preaches baptism. He preaches baptism, and he offers you something you can't afford to refuse. He calls you to the water. He calls you to death itself. He's clothed in camel's hair. He's uncomfortable to be around, a little strange. He eats locusts and wild honey. He's a wanderer, a nomad, an outsider. He wears a leather belt around his waist because he has no gold, no money, no jewels to offer you. He's all alone out in the wilderness, but he's preaching and he's calling you. Come to the water. Come here and die. Come here where you'll be plunged into a watery grave and you'll leave behind all that once held you in bondage. You must be drowned. For there comes one after me whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to untie. He comes from heaven. None of us are worthy. He comes from above and he comes here to wear sandals. To walk on that sand and into that river. John preaches a baptism of repentance. It means literally a change of mind, a change of the inner self, a work of the Holy Spirit through water and the Word when you are plunged as a dying sinner into the waters of baptism. It's a great exchange. A great exchange happens in that water because when you're plunged into the water as a dying sinner, God is going to do something and something new is going to come out. You're plunged into the water as a dying sinner, but there is where you leave behind all your sins, all that once held you. You're touched by God's word so that when you come out of baptism, you are God's beloved son. Arising from the water is God's beloved son. He takes off his sandals by the shoreline. The sand is hot and he walks down toward the water. These are the feet of a man, calloused for many miles of walking and feet that have many steps to go into the future days. He makes his way down to the banks of the Jordan River. And there the water is cold and it's dirty. The water is cold because of the memory of what we have done. And the water is dirty because of the filth that we've left behind. There he goes, the pure and sinless Son of God, to be plunged into that water where we have been. And so there's a great exchange. You can think of Jesus' baptism as a great exchange. Because you go into the water, you leave something behind, and you take something of his. It's an exchange that happens. He goes into the water, he leaves something behind, and he takes something of yours. You go into the water, you leave your sins, you take his righteousness. He goes into the water, he leaves you his righteousness, and he takes your sins. And when he arises from that water, he knows the steps forward are the steps toward death. Even as you know, when you step out of that water, it is the steps toward life. Because Jesus' baptism was the moment when he was publicly chosen by God himself to be your Savior. when it was made known to all people that this was God's own Son, chosen as the Christ, to go to the cross for you. As he arises from the water, you arise from the grave. As heaven is open for him, heaven is open for you. And God has teared open heaven itself so that he can look down on this creation once again and be pleased. Be pleased as he once was at the very beginning when he first made it as he intended. Once again, looking at his own Son in you, he is pleased. He looks down and says, "This is my beloved Son." He looks at you and says, "This is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased. My cleansed child, my forgiven child. This is Adam, this is Eve, this is what I created. This is what I meant it to be." He sees his own Son and he gives you his own Spirit. And he says, "Sin shall no longer rule over you, for you are a new man, a new woman, living in my abounding grace." Paul writes, "We were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." In newness of life, a new life, a resurrection. Your feet step out onto that muddy shore, walking up the sandy bank, putting on those worn sandals, knowing there's many steps ahead. You've stepped into Jesus' shoes, and you're with him to the cross, to the grave, to the resurrection. This is a great exchange now, where your feet are no longer the feet of a man, but you have the steps of God. So that you look at life a new way. You give rather than worrying about what you're going to get. You honor your parents even when they're not fair to you, because you know they're God's representatives. You take responsibility. You go to your job and you do it well. You sacrifice for your children. And yes, you talk to your spouse, even when you don't want to. A great exchange has happened in the water. And how did God do it? How did God make that change of mind? Well, he made you an offer you couldn't refuse. Not by luring you into a deal you'd later regret. Not by threatening you until you did something you didn't want to do. But he's called you into the water by preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He knows you couldn't make the choice on your own, so he made it for you by giving you his Holy Spirit and bringing you into his kingdom, changing your mind and leading you out of that water into eternal life. Come to living word and water. Come as throngs on Jordan came. Heed the call of faith's creator. Be baptized in triune name. Alleluia, alleluia. All who are baptized and believe from the Father, Son, and Spirit, everlasting life receive. Amen.